You're listening to the Banner of Truth magazine podcast, where normally each week we bring you one or two selections from the magazine for your encouragement and edification. This week is again a little different as we bring you an interview with Dr. Sinclair B. Ferguson. In 2023, the Banner of Truth republished Alexander Moody Stewart, a memoir, which describes the life and ministry of a much respected, if little known, 19th century Scottish minister. Banner of Truth editor Sam Cunnington, who worked extensively on the project, sat down with Sinclair Ferguson to discuss what we can learn from Alexander Moody Stewart today. We trust you'll enjoy the conversation. Sinclair, you recommended that the Trust republish the memoir of Alexander Moody Stewart. Could you just explain why you proposed that we do that?
Well, the Banner of Truth Trust has published a number of books from, I think what you would say would be the middle of the 19th century, which were days of real evangelical awakening in Scotland. And I guess many people are familiar, especially with the names of Robert Murray McShane, Andrew Bonner, his biographer, and Andrew Bonner's brother, Horatius Bonner, who's probably best remembered today because people still sing his hymns. He wrote a number of very beautiful and deeply theological hymns, some of them originally written for children, but adults sing now. So I've always been very interested in that period. I've been interested in the Christ-centeredness of these men's lives. And Alexander Moody Stewart, he is one of those figures who is much less known than the Bonners or Murray McShane or somebody like Thomas Chalmers or even somebody like Thomas Guthrie, or, for that matter, the great theologians of that era in Scotland, like George Smeaton and William Cunningham and Bannerman and James Buchanan. He ministered almost all his life after he'd served as a missionary on the Holy Isle. He served, I think, from sometime in the 1930s for the rest of his life in a church in Edinburgh. And it was a ministry to which others, who I think to most Christians today are much better known, to which others looked as a kind of model of ministry. And I've always been interested in this element in Christian history, that when we look down through Christian history, there are some names that really stand out. But most people have no idea who it was who influenced them. And I think it's discovering who influenced people who became so well known that is such an encouragement to all of us. That whether we are well known or little known really makes no difference in the economy of God. And Moody Stewart was, I think one could say, just one of those hidden names to us that in his own day, large numbers of other ministers looked as a model of biblical preaching, as a model of pastoral excellence. He had some very specific ministry gifts. He wouldn't have been known greatly as an instrument in the awakening, although he certainly preached people by God's grace into the kingdom of God. He didn't really take a prominent place in the ecclesiastical politics of the day, like Thomas Chalmers and others. In other words, he was actually like most ministers. And it's that model, the model of the man who is like most ministers, but who excels as a model in that ministry, that I think when I first read his biography, I thought it really would be wonderful, not only for ministers, but for the people of God in general, to be able to read about such a man, and not least in our own day when we have media ministers and we have people that publishers call influencers, and we have gurus. And sometimes I think that can be very demeaning to ordinary ministers who love their people and give themselves to their people in the ministry of God's word. So I'm very excited about the fact that this biography of Alexander Moody Stewart will be available to Christian people again, because it has been unavailable for many, many years. I think actually, if I may, one of the best ways, I think, to get into somebody's ministry is to read the relics that they've left behind. And the Trust also publishes this book, The Three Marys, which is a series of expositions by Alexander Moody Stewart. And I see it's got a lovely new cover since I got my edition. And obviously, it's really three discrete studies of Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, sister of Lazarus, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So it's like three books in one. And he takes us, and this was characteristic of his ministry, he takes us to the text of Scripture, but he doesn't expound the text of Scripture as though he were engaged in what I would call a literary essay or a grammatical exegesis, but in what I think one could call a genuinely theological and spiritual exegesis. So he doesn't simply float along the surface, but he was clearly a man who had meditated deeply on the experience of these three women. And you know, maybe I'm a man speaking about a man, but I have never read anywhere such rich, thoughtful expositions of these three women anywhere else that is profoundly sensitive to their spiritual experience, their femininity, and also to some of the very important applications that arise from their lives. And you feel, I sometimes think this way. I remember when I was growing up, there were very few sweets that were available, and peppermints was one of them. And I was a peppermint cruncher. If somebody gave me one, it would be gone in a minute. But my parents and my grandmother could suck these things and enjoy them for, it seemed, half an hour. And I've often thought that's really a kind of parable or metaphor of the different ways in which people read the Scriptures. You know, some of us kind of crunch our way through, and Alexander Moody Stewart really sucked on Scripture. And in that, I think, especially in our fast-paced world, especially in our world where if you've got a question about the Bible, you can sit down at your computer and do a Google search for it, and what you'll get is an answer. But you're like a child crunching a peppermint when you do that. And I think one of the things that was a characteristic of Moody Stewart's ministry and illustrated wonderfully in this book is this lingering on the text of Scripture, so that when you expound those passages in Scripture, you're not just explaining the text, you're explaining that to which the text points. You're talking about the God to whom the text points, talking about the spiritual experience of the people described in the text. And so it doesn't surprise me that when his congregation went to worship on Sunday, they must have gone with an eager anticipation that they would be wonderfully fed. And I think that is such a big thing today. You know, my wife often says to me, the issue is not did you handle Scripture properly, exegetically, merely, but did you feed us? And Moody Stewart certainly fed his people for many years richly. So I'm very enthusiastic about Alexander Moody Stewart coming back into print.
Thank you. Principal John MacLeod, the author of Scottish Theology, also published by the Banner of Truth Trust, described Alexander Moody Stewart's ministry as an eminently spiritual one. What do you think he was getting at there?
I think when Principal MacLeod, the earlier Principal MacLeod, spoke about Moody Stewart's ministry as spiritual, I think he was probably getting at the idea that he dealt not just with the text of Scripture, but with the Spirit-given atmosphere of Scripture. And so in his works, you have a sense that he has actually got inside of what is being described in the passage. And at the same time, he has actually got inside his hearers. So he has this, I think of it in preachers as a kind of sanctified use of the imagination, so that he sees what is here in the text, and he sees what is actually there in the experience and hearts of his congregation. And he is actually able to bring what is in one to the other, and to bring the other back into a center in Christ in Scripture. I know some people don't like golfing illustrations, but one of my sons was becoming a very good golfer. And I realized, as they say, that he needed to be brought to the next level. I think he was about 13 at the time. He had done really well. I could see he needed to be brought forwards, but I knew I didn't have the ability to do it. So I phoned up an old friend from my past that I'd played golf with competitively, and we had been partners in representative matches and so on. And he was one of the leading professional teachers in Scotland, and asked if I could bring my son down to see him. I'd actually forgotten that the last time we played against each other, I had actually won. And he said, I was going to leave my son with him. He said, no, just stay. I didn't realize till afterwards. He was going to show he really could do something I couldn't do. And in the space of an hour, I saw him transition my son from what he was to what he could become. Of course, he needed to go back and put in the reps, as they say. But the sound of the strike of the ball was different. I could see the swing speed had increased. And all this because somehow or another, this man had, who understood the golf swing, the physical action of the golf swing, but also was able to kind of weave himself into my son to make him feel the transition. And it, actually, Sam, it was an inspiration to me, because I went back thinking, I have just seen an acted parable of what I would love to be able to do in the ministry of the Word. And that is so understand the Scriptures, and so to be able to, as it were, in using them, get inside and to deliver the power, the grace of Christ in his Word into their lives, so that the Word itself would do the work in them, so that the preaching was not, God says this and you do that, but that, as Paul says to the Thessalonians, you know, you received the Word of God, not as the Word of man, but as it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you. And that's a long way around of saying, I think Moody Stewart was a great model of that. And there does seem to have been this sense from his preaching that people felt the Lord had found them in his preaching. And of course, the amazing thing about preaching and the power of the Spirit is that happens to people who seem to be in all kinds of different places. But because Christ is present in the ministry of the Word, it's Christ they find. And so whatever needs they have come with, they discover that he is adequate. He's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. And so Moody Stewart was just the kind of minister you would love to have as your minister, and who would, I think by God's grace, make you go to worship with an anticipation that you would be really fed. That's a long answer to a short question.
Thank you. Could you just say something about Alexander Moody Stewart's circle of friends and how they all influenced each other?
Yeah, you know, looking back through history, I mean, all the way through the history of the church, it strikes me that when God has done something fresh among his people. Characteristically, he has done it through a group of brothers, not to eliminate sisters, but in terms of ministers, through a group of brothers who have been brought together by sometimes unexpected connections. So if you think of the Reformation, and I think particularly of John Calvin here, who, to people who don't know him very well, seems to have been a very lonely figure. It is amazing to discover the friends that he had and the bonds of friendship that were hidden behind his life. And you could say the same about the 17th century, about the Puritans. You know, there was a real brotherhood. And then if you move into the 18th century, there are several brotherhoods in the 18th century who were engaged in ministry and who encouraged one another. And in the 19th century in Scotland, in other places too, but I just happen to know most about Scotland. There was a group of men who, by God's grace, were raised up in the context of a strengthening of evangelical witness through a small group of prominent older individuals. Perhaps the best known would be Thomas Chalmers. And a number of them who studied under Chalmers and doubtless were influenced by his teaching as a theology professor, but were just as influenced by his, people today might call it discipleship, but he didn't disciple them, he befriended them. And they learned by observation, by breathing in the atmosphere of his ministry. And he was a tremendous encouragement to them. So you get people like about Andrew and Horatius Bonner, Robert Murray McShane, John Milne of Perth, and not quite in the same way, embedded in that small group of men who were students at the same time. George Smeaton was another. This figure of Alexander Moody Stewart, who is a wee bit older, who is already in ministry, who is attracting attention to them as young students. They find him, and when they find him, they feel we found the model that we want to follow. And there are a number of those men. I mean, in an interesting way, William Chalmers Burns, who was so instrumental in the awakening, especially both in the west and east coast of Scotland, and perhaps most famous because he filled in for Murray McShane when Murray McShane went to the Holy Land, was a kind of slight outsider to that group. So there was the very tight-knit group, and then there were those who surrounded them whose ministries they really, really appreciated. And one of the ways in which they kept the bond of that fellowship going was they committed to pray for each other. That was one thing. Another thing they did that I think has probably almost disappeared now everywhere was they lived, middle of the 19th century, still the Lord's Supper relatively infrequently celebrated in Presbyterian churches. They tended to celebrate it a little more frequently, but because it was infrequently celebrated, there was this tradition that grew up that the communion season was not just a Sunday morning service, it lasted for 5 days. So there was a tremendous amount of preaching. I mean, it was almost like a convention or a conference. And they almost always seemed to have asked one another to come and to share in that ministry. And that meant that they would be together for a few days so that the bonds of friendship, which they kept up spasmodically by letter writing, those bonds were strengthened by face-to-face fellowship and also, I think, by listening to each other preach. And I sometimes think it would be a great thing. I know some students who have done this, but I think it would be a great thing for those who are going through seminary education, theological education, to commit themselves to try to find ways of repeating that in the congregations they serve so that they can strengthen one another in the Lord, so that they can listen to one another, and so that their congregations are exposed beyond their own minister to the people who lie behind their minister. very, in my experience, very typical in churches. We're going to have a conference, so we look for the best known person who's willing to come to our conference. And I understand why they may do that, but I've often thought, you know, it would produce ordinarily more lasting encouragement to them if they said to their minister, have you ever thought about bringing in two or three of your close friends and we'll have several days together? Because we want to know those. We love you enough to want to know and care for and pray for those who care for and pray for you. And I think that was one of the ways in which they managed to sustain this flame of appreciation of each other and devotion to care for one another, which they really, really, really did. Andrew Bonner, you know, every anniversary of Robert McShane's death, he remembered. They meant so much to each other. And that kind of friendship, I think, is sadly becoming increasingly rare. And they found ways of sustaining it when travel was not nearly as easy as it is today.
And finally, who do you think should read the memoir of Alexander Moody Stuart?
Who should read the memoir of Alexander Moody Stuart? Well, I'm not quite sure what price it's going to be, but whatever price it is, it will be a bargain. So that's, if you're Scottish, that's a good reason for reading the book. But much more seriously, I do think it's a book for every Christian for a number of reasons. One is, it's obviously a book for ministers because he was such a lovely model of ministry. It's a book if you're interested in days of grace in the Christian church, because he did live in those days. And I think it's a book for those who may not be ministers to help them get inside what it's like to be a faithful minister. We know our own minister, hopefully, but then like every other minister to us is maybe somebody on a YouTube channel. And our own minister, unless we get to know him really well, he's not going to open his heart to you. He's there for you. You are not there in his eyes for him to unload on. And so I think it's a very helpful thing for all of us to get inside what it must be like for our pastor to be our pastor. Because it's a very different way of life. I mean, even from the point of view of, we all go to worship together on Sunday, but he goes there to worship with us. But actually, he goes there with this huge burden on his back. You know, we may think that when the service is over, he feels elated, but he may be just overcome with a sense of how inadequate he's been. He, I'm sure, is frequently touched with a sense of his own sinfulness. We greet him at the door and he smiles at us, but he probably wished that the pulpit had just opened up and he had dived down somewhere, you know, underneath the floor. And I think just to get a little taste of the inside life of a minister. That's one thing. I think the other thing that is maybe important to say is ministry has changed enormously since the 19th century. And in fact, like, I am now old enough to be able to say ministry has changed, as far as I can see, ministry has changed enormously since the time when I first became a minister. And in those days, ministers preached a great deal. They visited an enormous amount. They knew their people intimately. And sometimes when you read about these men, you wonder, has life in the ministry been cluttered up with things that are incidental, that have unwittingly pressed out the absolutely central things? And unless we have people in our congregation who understand what this style of ministry is, I think it's kind of unlikely, or if a minister wants to impress that on his people, it will produce a kind of clash, because it's a very different style of ministry. So remember, when I was ordained, Sam, when I was 23, I was assistant minister in a city centre church where people came from all round Glasgow. So none of them lived in what you would call the parish. And apart from all the other things I did as a youngster, I visited 20 homes every week. And I suspect there are ministers now who don't visit 20 homes in a month. So what is consuming our time and energy? These men preached 3-4 times a week. Many ministers now preach once a week. So it kind of raises the question, what is it that has pushed out what Alexander Moody Stewart and others regarded as really absolutely central to ministry, and why has it pushed it out? And if this is worthwhile, you know, if to sit under Alexander Moody Stewart would be something we would regard as a spiritual benediction and even a treat, what do we need to do to return to that kind of ministry? That Principal MacLeod said was spiritual. And I think that is the huge need in our times, for ministry that is not just educational, nor just exhortatory, but actually is spiritual, introduces us to the living Lord Jesus Christ, helps us to understand that today he is the same as he was yesterday in the pages of the Gospels. And I think this was part of Moody Stewart's genius, really. And it does come out in the Three Marys. The Three Marys is actually not about the Three Marys. It's really about Christ. And I think I've become more and more convinced that that is what we need to return to. Not just the surface exegesis of the text, but the one to whom the text points. And Moody Stewart's just a wonderful example of that.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth magazine podcast. To subscribe to the magazine in print or digital formats, or both, see the show notes or visit banneroftruth.org.